This is PCJ Radio International. PCJ Radio International presents the longest running international show. The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perron. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station. It's very nice to have you with me. Today we have a guest on the program, and I think, without a doubt, it has to be the youngest person that I know who works in radio and started off in radio, even younger than myself. When I started off, I was around 17 or 18. This guy is even younger, and we're going to hear from him later on in the program because it is interesting. It really, really is interesting. We also have coming up today some information from our transmissions that we're doing on Sundays. We made a frequency change for this weekend, so stay tuned because I'll be telling you about that later on in the program. I thought that today we'd begin with a singer who I happen to like very much. His name is Elton John, and here he is with Your Song.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live. If I was a sculptor, but then again, no. Or a man who makes potions in a traveling show. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song, and this one's for you. And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is while you're in the world. I sat on the roof and kicked off the moss. Well, a few of the verses, well, they've got me quite cross. But the sun's been quite kind while I wrote this song. It's for people like you that keep it turned on. So excuse me for getting, but these things I do, you see I've forgotten if they're green or they're blue. Anyway, the thing is, what I really mean, yours are the sweetest eyes I've ever seen. And you can tell everybody this is the song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in the words how wonderful life is while you're in the world. I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in the words how wonderful life is while you're in the world.
Well, that's certainly a very nice way to begin today's program. Elton John and Your Song, from an album called Elton John's Greatest Hits, 1970 to 2002. He's had some other hits since then, so I think at some point they'll release another one saying Elton John's Greatest Hits, 1970 to 2013. All right, let's now move on to talk about PCJ for a bit. As you know, a couple of weeks ago, we began some test transmissions from the SLBC site, which is the Sri Lanka Broadcasting Corporation, and their shortwave relay in Trincomalee, Sri Lanka. Now, this site actually has an interesting history because it was built by Radio Deutsche Welle and was used by Radio Deutsche Welle until a few months ago. The site has now been handed over to the SLBC, so we're using the same transmitters as Deutsche Welle. Okay, now, we did start off for 2 weeks using a frequency of 11750 kilohertz. But a number of people wrote in saying two things. Either, number one, they were getting great reception in our target area, which is Southeast Asia and East Asia. Now, the other letters that were coming in were from people saying, well, the problem that I have is that when I was trying to tune in, I heard some co-channel interference. And they did. And this was actually for listeners outside the target area. Now, even though we do have a target area, it is nice, of course, if we can reach beyond that. So that's what we're going to try to do. So this week, we've changed frequency. The new frequency is the following. 11835 kilohertz. That's 11835 kilohertz in the 25-meter band from 13 to 14 hours UTC. That's again, 13 to 14 hours UTC on 11835 kilohertz. So if you are listening and can listen that day, let us know. And you don't just have to be in East and Southeast Asia, because when we were using the frequency that we were using, we were actually able to reach the western part of North America and parts of Europe. And that's from reception reports from monitors that we had contact us. And people have also been sending in recordings as well. So hopefully we will get our signal much further. So if you are able to tune in, that's 13 to 14 hours UTC on 11750 kilohertz. Time now for music. This is a singer that we've played a couple of times before. I think only twice. Her name is, where's the disc? Here it is. Feral Spence. And it's from a CD called A Town Called Hell. And it's kind of a mixture of blues and rock together. Very nice CD. Here she is with Here's to You and Me.
I'd open the curtains and I'd clean up this mess. I'd but also makeup and my prettiest dress. I'd buy you a ticket on the very next train just to see you again, to see you again. And darling, I'd call you my number one man. I'd say I miss you, you could understand. Cowboy's only in Macbeth just to get you out of my head.
I'd write you a letter, I won't throw it away. And I'd sing you a love song if it would make you stay. I'd stand by your window in the pouring rain just to see you again, to see you again. I'd try to tell you that you're the one for me. I'd say I'm sorry if it didn't make you believe. And this friend of a friend is by my side just to get you off of my mind. So here's to you, here's to you, you and me. Yeah, here's to you, here's to you, you and me.
You and me.
Farrell Spence from Canada with Here's to You and Me. You're listening to your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. Now, I always like to find out about radio people, because everybody has a unique story about how they got involved in radio, either as a listener or as an amateur radio operator, or how they, what they listen to and stuff, or even as a broadcaster, presenter, producer. The list is just endless. Last year, by accident, and I don't remember how I came across this, it may have been a listener that had told me about it, but it's a guy that started in radio in Florida when he was 13 years old. He's now 15. And of course, we had to call him up. So here's my little interview that I did with Roman Belvis, who is quite fascinating.
Well, actually, it started a couple of years ago, back in early 2010. I was just sitting around one day, and it was just one of those things that just pops into your head. The, you know, what if I could do this question? You know, what if I could, what if I can accomplish this? It started out as, you know, just something. I mean, like, who would think to start a radio station? That's something I had. It just, because I was interested, I loved listening to radio. Even in this modern age where we have MP3s and computers and YouTube to listen to all types of music, I still, you know, I had a little connection with radio as a special medium to myself. But, and there are kids out there today who are interested in it, and it just, it's been around for a long, long time, so there's, you know, really no way to, you know, kind of get rid of it right now. I think it'll be here for a long time, but...
But you've done something that I think you've really taken it to a different level. I mean, anybody can come along and say, look, I'm going to start a radio station. You create a website, you just create a stream, and that's it. But you've really taken it to another level using LPFM, which, if anybody doesn't know, that stands for low-powered FM, correct?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, yeah, I really didn't know what I was doing in the beginning. And when I started this, Keith, I was in Florida, and the FCC has two states where their laws regarding radio, that they will crack down on you with an iron fist, in New Jersey and Florida. And, you know, I had no idea what I was doing. I just had an idea, and I decided to go on eBay and look up things to start radio stations. I knew really nothing about transmitters, nothing about broadcasting. I bought a cheap Chinese Hilly-made transmitter, and I got a $20 antenna that came with it, you know. And I decided, oh, cool, this will be easy. I'll just hook this up to my computer and start broadcasting, you know. And it spewed off of that. It just came all from that little idea and just doing it, just going out there and doing it.
Now, in the United States, Roman, the U.S. has, the FCC has something called Part 15, many of our listeners outside the U.S. right now won't know what that is, but Part 15 means does that really mean you're allowed to broadcast under a certain amount of power with no problem?
Well, you know, you put no problem under a specific, under a magnifying glass, you know, and no problem, you can get away with it. It's just really frowned upon, and they'll try to get you for anything. I mean, yes, the law says you can do it. It has to be under, I believe it's 100 milliwatts, that's what I'm putting out right now. And then they can't really do anything to you. But, of course, they'll try to find things to go around their Part 15 law to get you, like, interference, saying that it interferes with airline communications, et cetera, et cetera.
I have a funny story that happened last year when I was in Plymouth Meeting in the United States for this radio conference. I actually set up at the hotel a pirate radio station, and one of the guys that was attending there was actually from the FCC, and I didn't know that. And we just started talking, and then he said he was from the FCC, and I went, "Oh, oh, I shouldn't be talking too much. And he told me, he said, well, personally, he said, we don't really care as long as it doesn't cause any interference. When they're, when somebody causes interference, that's when we have to investigate.
Now, remember how I told you earlier on how I bought that cheap Chinese-made transmitter in Florida?
Right.
Well, you know something about transmitters, I guess, and you know, when you buy something cheap, and this goes for all things, you usually get what you pay for. And I had no idea about FM transmitters when I got this thing. I plugged it up, I put the antenna outside my window, and this is when I was living in an apartment. So this thing was hanging on the side of my balcony, you know, we were on the third floor, and it was been going on for a week. I've been putting music from my computer. I hadn't had a mix board yet, no microphones. I was playing music off my iTunes. And all of a sudden, you know, my neighbor started complaining. They said, well, I don't know what happened. A couple of weeks ago, you know, my TV started acting up on all channels. I called the Dish people and they came and they didn't know what was going on, blah, blah, blah. And the lady was talking to my mother. And my mom told me, you know what, Roman? I think it's that little radio thing you've got going on. And it was. Every time I switched it on, their TV would go bad because it bled so bad. And now this was 15 watts of FM energy being distributed out of this transmitter. And it was affecting this whole entire neighborhood. I'm lucky that the FCC didn't come bust down my door because...
You could have used the excuse considering how bad television is. This would have been an improvement.
Lines going on the screen, colors and all. It's pretty nice looking.
Yeah. So you shut that down, but then when you left Florida, you brought the idea with you, and you're using a 100 milliwatt transmitter right now. Where did you get this transmitter from?
I had this person. He was like an electronics guy, and he, you know, he was talking to me, and he told me about EDM. And about their multiple transmitters, and I was looking on their website and all like that. And he had one, so I paid him, and he sent it to me. He said it won't interfere, won't get you caught, won't get you busted. It has a 10 milliwatt to 100 milliwatt range, so you'll be fine. And it is a pure, just clean, good working transmitter, and that's what I got.
And of course, one of the interesting things that people may not be familiar with, but even if you, I mean, 100 milliwatts doesn't sound like a lot, but with a decent antenna, depending on how high the antenna is, you can get pretty good coverage with that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Because the antenna that I got with the Hilly, it was a ground plane, and it was a cheap one, and it really didn't work well. And it's all rusted now. That's how bad it is. But, I went to the Home Depot, which is a department store in the U.S., is a hardware store, and I got some copper pipes actually, and I don't really remember. I had charts or something. Someone online sent me an email how to cut them to the specific frequency,
right,
to whatever it is, and I wanted mine kind of in the middle, so I said, all right, why don't we just cut it to the frequency of 98.9, because that way if I decided to change frequencies, I can go up to like 101 something or down probably all the way to the upper 80s, and still get away with it. Because you have to have your antenna cut a certain way on FM for it to have the best results.
So, okay, you started this off. What was the reaction from your friends? Were they looking at you going, this guy's crazy?
Yeah, well, in Florida when I started it, I was in a densely populated area of South Florida and down in Coral Springs where I lived. And there was about, in that population area, remember, I'm living next to Miami. This is a big hub right there, thousands and thousands of people. The school I went to, we had 2,500 kids. This was a middle school. This is when I was in seventh grade. And, the next day I started it, it grew, and a week or two later, everyone would be like, oh, are you that kid that has the radio station? Because when I was spewing those dirty 15, I like to call it, from my third floor window, I was going about 15, 16 miles because Florida's real flat and the signal will just fly. And I did a range test in the car and I kept driving and driving and driving and I was astonished. Hmm. And when you have that range, it's like, oh no, I don't want to turn this off. I love this. But you don't want to get busted. But my friends, they couldn't believe it. They wanted me to prove it. So I told them, hey, when you're in the car today, turn it on, listen, you'll hear it, you know? And some of them still were skeptics, but, you know, not all of them will believe such an amazing feat like that.
There was a funny story that we talked about 2 years ago on the show. There was some kid in, I think it was outside Ottawa, in the province of Ontario in Canada, who started this pirate radio station. He was broadcasting, I think, 50 watts with a very high antenna. And he was using frequencies that were already in use by other stations in the province of Ontario, causing all this interference. And the CRTC and Industry Canada went to his location and confiscated everything. And the funny thing was, the parents just said, "Oh, we didn't know it was illegal." And I was like, "Wait a second, this is not 10 milliwatts here. This is not 100 milliwatts. This is 50. I mean, the guy was putting out the same. I mean, he was just on top of everybody else's frequency. Now, you know, my belief and my feeling is that I think it's a great idea that people could come along with micro FM stations, but don't use frequencies that are in use by other broadcasters.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a common thing, you know. Like,
yeah, but you know, Roman, as well as I do, a lot of people don't have common sense about that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it could have been me, too. I had no idea. You know, you're just starting out. You have no knowledge about it. I had no idea that cheap transmitters didn't have a low-pass filter and wouldn't stop interference going into TVs. I had no idea. You know, I would not think about that. And that's the thing with radio, you know, the experience that you get with it, it builds on you and you learn from it as in anything else, you know.
Now, you said at the beginning you were just broadcasting music from your computer and your iPod. What about today? I mean, did you actually start doing, say, you know, programming on the station?
Yeah, it took me a little while, like a month long in it. Yeah, I started doing programming and I bought myself my first mix board, and I have it right here. I have two right now running my station. I have they're both from Behringer. One's a Xenix or 502. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's a small one, and it has one microphone input and two channels. And I bought that for $49.99 at the music shop because that was the only one they had. And now the big board I have in here, of course, I had to order that. But I bought the board. I bought the little board. I bought an Ultramizer Pro, also from Behringer. All my stuff is from Behringer. I really love it. And I bought a dual-engine processor for my channels. And, you know, I got all my stuff together, and I decided I could do radio shows. You know, at first, it was really bad because I had no structure.
Yeah, but you know what? One of the things is that this is what I tell people. I said, you know, the only way you learn is by making the mistakes. Get all, you know, sound as bad as possible at the beginning because you can only improve.
That is what I did. I had no structure, and I would stutter all the time. And, you know, it really helped me with my speaking skills, and it really does because you can't go, on the radio. And at first, I did that because I didn't know how to speak like a broadcaster. But as time passes, you think about what you're going to say, and you just speak. And the thing is, I never did have, stage fright or radio fear. All of my friends who wanted to go on the radio, they couldn't do it. They were afraid to speak into a microphone. but, yeah, my programming was mixed. I had kids come in. We talked about just everything possible, and it didn't really start gaining ground until later on.
Now, with what you're doing, are there others in the United States doing the same thing?
There are to a certain degree. It's just there are pirate stations. Like, and I don't really like to refer to myself as that because I'm really not. You know, I'm still under the Part 15 thing. But, you know, there's other micro stations around, but they don't focus on, you know, like a real FM station format. They just like to broadcast to the community, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's great, people getting involved in FM, you know, and taking part of radio. But I guess there's a couple who try to do FM like I do, but I mean, I haven't seen anything else kind of the thing that I do. You know, I if you look at my station in comparison to other commercial stations, they are practically the same. However,
Mine's better, though, and I just wish I had the capacity to broadcast on a 100,000-watt transmitter, you know, and have a huge tower and all. Because other than that, my programming's the same. It sounds amazing on the radio and stuff like that, you know?
So how old were you when you started, and how old are you now?
I'm 15 right now. I just turned 15, and I started back in 2010. And, you know, and all that time in between, you know.
Wait a second. You're 15 now, and you started this in when you were 13. That's extraordinary. I mean, I can't think of any other 13-year-olds that would come along and say, oh, I'm going to start this off.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people who talk to me and who meet me in real life, they actually think that I'm probably a freshman in college. I've actually walked into a bar, well, it was like a bar and grill with my family multiple times, and we would see this. And I want to put my glasses on, I wear contacts. But when I put my glasses on, it makes me look older than I am. You know, and I go up, you know, and we try this, and the lady said, can I get you anything? And I'm like,
Scotch, you know, and soda, right?
give me a strawberry daiquiri, extra virgin. But it's the way I conduct myself, I guess. That's what everyone says. They would never expect that I was 15, and especially when I was 13, they're still astonished to find out how old I was when. Because I guess, you know, I didn't really change much from then to here, but progressed in a good way.
You know, I have this feeling. And this is, I could be wrong here, but I don't think I will be. I have a feeling that you're going to be one of these guys, like myself and others, who started off at a very young age and will continue doing this until our dying day.
With most people in this field that I've seen, like, once they get involved in this, they can't stop. You know, it's like, you got to keep doing it. And I guess you're right. We'll just have to see where the future takes me. It all depends, you know, because, you know, I find this as a fun talent, broadcasting in general of mine. And I really enjoy it. And it's something I'm really good at.
And that was my conversation with Roman Belvis, the youngest person I ever spoke to who started in radio at the age of 13. He's now 15. If you want to chat with him and find out what he's doing, he's actually a part of the PCJ Media, PCJ Facebook page, and he's always willing to answer questions. And you know what's interesting, though, is if I didn't know his age, I would never have suspected that he was only 15 years old. I don't know about you, but myself, I never would have suspected it. Quite fascinating. You're listening to PCJ Radio International, coming to you on great partner stations everywhere. It's now time for more music. So here is, this is a funny story of actually how I got this CD. I was shopping around for a particular recording in the classical section of this music shop. And I was flipping through things, and this just jumped out at me. It's the Munich Philharmonic Orchestra. Nothing unusual there. But this is the unusual part. They're playing ABBA. Yes. The four Swedish people from Sweden. Obviously from Sweden, not from Denmark. Yes, ABBA from Sweden. And I was just thinking, wait a second. Why is this in the classical section? So I went to the head of the music department of the classical section. I said, well, I know it's the Munich Philharmonic, but why do you have ABBA here? It should be an easy listening. And he said, well, it's the Munich Philharmonic Orchestra, so it's classical. I said, yes, but it's ABBA. It's ABBA. This is nothing. This is not even remotely connected with classical music. Anyway, it was in that section. I decided, well, I have to get it now. It is quite good. Here they are with one of ABBA's big hits, The Winner Takes It All.
Thank you.
The winner takes it all, the Munich Philharmonic Orchestra. We now move to a group that, during the time that they were together, until 1970, had a number of hits. In fact, all of their albums have become classics. I'm talking about the Beatles. Now, in the early 1960s, the Beatles did have a radio series that was called Pop Goes the Beatles. In fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, we have played one before on the program. But what is interesting about the stuff that they did at the BBC is they recorded a lot of songs that they never recorded commercially. They were never released commercially. Some of the songs actually were written by them, by John Lennon and Paul McCartney, but were performed by other artists. Well, a few years ago, in 1994, they released a double album and a double CD called The Beatles Live at the BBC, which contains many of these unreleased tracks. And it's amazing. I'm a big fan of the Beatles, so anything that is rare from them, I always find fun to listen to. There is something noticeably different between the recordings that they made at the BBC and the ones they made at the world-famous Abbey Road Studios, and that is the BBC was not equipped at the time to record pop music. Now you're saying, well, why didn't the Beatles just come along and spin the records on their show? Well, there is a reason for that, because at the time, there was something in the United Kingdom that was called needle time. It was a union restriction, musicians' union restriction, limiting the amount of vinyl and pre-recorded music that can be played on the BBC. So many times, to get around it, they would have the artists come in and perform either the same songs or different ones. So that's what the Beatles ended up doing. But the BBC was not equipped to record rock and roll music. So on many of the recordings, you hear a fair amount of distortion. But I have to say, it sort of adds to the charm of it. Here's a fascinating song. And I'm trying to remember who originally had a hit with this. I've gone blank. But it's a nice song. It was composed by Lennon and McCartney. Here they are, I'll Be On My Way, recorded at the BBC in London.
The sun is fading away. That's the end of the day. As the June light turns to moonlight, I'll be on my way. Just one kiss and I'll go.
The Beatles, recorded live at the BBC, well, not live in front of an audience, but a session they did, recorded live, meaning no retakes or anything, on a simple two-track mono machine for a show that they did called Pop Goes the Beatles. If you search around on the internet, many of those recordings, because they were released to radio stations around the world as part of the BBC transcription service, are now available. Time now for more music. Let's get up our dancing shoes a bit. Here's from Haiti, King Posé with Retourner.
C'est autant, c'est autant, autant qu'il n'y a pas. Passive et sur nation, autant qu'il n'y a pas. se parle parce que mon yo normal. Et on a le calac, pas de bossal.
Nous retournons pour tout ça qui t'a fait wenna. Nous retournons pour tout ça qui t'a fait wenna.
Nous même retournons pour tout ça qui t'a fait wenna. Pour nous café, on connaît avec les passia.
Mettez mes nous en l'air, levez, levez, mets nous en l'air là. Fanatique à deux, mets nous en l'air. Si nous d'accord, mettez nous en l'air là. Fanatique Mickey, mets nous en l'air. Mettez, mettez, mets nous en l'air là. Oh
Ouvert comme vous balle, 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 ouv Et papa, à ton côté, maman de bébé. Et papa, à ton côté, maman de bébé.
King Posé from Haiti with a nice number called Retourné. Well, I thought that for our last selection today, we'd listen to something very loud. Now, this is the kind of loud that I have this on. I've had this record for many years, and it is a fascinating, a really excellent marching record. But it's not a marching band, it's a full orchestra playing marching music. It's André Costelens and his orchestra. Here they are with George Gershwin's Strike Up the Band. Now, if you're listening to this on a hi-fi system right now with big speakers, turn it up really loud. Let's drive your neighbors crazy. Yes, what a nice way to end the show. Anyway, before we go, I just want to remind you again of our email address, hs@pcjmedia.com. That's hs@pcjmedia.com. If you want to download this program again or listen to any of the other PCJ programs and find information on our broadcasts, go to www.pcjmedia.com. This Sunday, we're going to be on the air to Southeast and East Asia again, from 13 to 14 hours UTC on 11835 kilohertz. That's 11835 kilohertz. And for that, we have a special edition of Happy Station. Yes, a special edition of Happy Station, which is not available on our website. No, it's not available on our website. If you want to know what it is, you have to tune in. The first 15 minutes of that hour is our news magazine, Focus Asia Pacific, presented by Andy Sennett. Anyway, I'm going to leave you right now. So on behalf of everyone that helped put the program together, this is Keith Parent wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
call the PCJ answer line at country code 44-20-3286-1399. That's country code 44-20-3286-1399 and leave your comments and questions. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio.